Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, and in your truth find freedom, and in your will discover your peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. This morning I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to you. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body, on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are being made part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. The wall broke Humpty Dumpty. Horses and men couldn't put him back together. We like walls. Now, I'm not talking about the wall on the border between us and Mexico. That's for another day. But we like walls. We like to be separated from other people. We do. Charlie Rich, many, many years ago, used to sing a song about doors. When you get behind closed doors, you can let your hair hang down. Some of you remember that song. Some of you are wondering, what is the preacher talking about? But we like our doors. We like things that separate us from other people. Sometimes in our homes, we like to separate ourselves from our spouses. Was that you, Art? We like to separate ourselves from our spouses. Sometimes we like to separate ourselves from our parents if we're a teenager. Amen. Sometimes we like to send our children to their room because we want to be separated from them, don't we? When we've had all of them that we can stand at the moment, we will give them time out in their room. And trying to figure out, is 2 weeks in the room too much? But we like our borders. The neighbor whom you love, who has the beautiful Labrador Retriever, will not be your good neighbor, and you will not love that dog if that dog comes into your yard and digs up your flower garden and chews up your patio furniture. Sometimes walls, sometimes fences make good neighbors. There are times in our life we like to build walls of avoidance. There are people in our life we just as soon not spend any more time with. They have a way of rubbing our last nerve. And so we will put up a wall of avoidance so that we don't speak to them, we don't talk to them, we go the other way, we find a way not to be in their presence. And then if something bad happens to those people and we learn about it, we can honestly say, you know, I didn't know about that. Because if I'd have known about it, I would have surely been praying for them. I would have taken them some food. Sometimes we use walls to build a buffer so that we don't have to be like God wants us to be or Christ wants us to be. We like walls. We like division. The letter to the church at Ephesus is a letter that Paul writes. Paul writes this letter. He had spent 3 years in Ephesus establishing this church. It was a good church. Ephesus was on the way to someplace else. And so he spends a lot of time because people are constantly going through there to somewhere else. It's a good church. But they have a problem. They have a problem. It's a problem that's been brewing for a while. Christianity was begun. The birthday of the church is considered Pentecost, that first Jewish holiday after Passover, 50 days later. And in the church, God sent the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that? Way back at Easter, after Easter, we have Pentecost. It's the Jewish holiday where the Holy Spirit is sent by God and he comes to rest and the Christians receive the Holy Spirit. The first Christians were Jewish Christians. And they began to grow. And then we come to understand about how persecution began to the Christians, these Jewish Christians. Persecution then leads Christians to leave Jerusalem where it's safer. And they share the gospel with other Jews and more Jews become Christians. And we read about in Acts 10 where Peter has this event with Cornelius. And these Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. And so that Christ must be also for the Gentile as the Jew. By the time Paul writes this letter, we are in the second generation of Christians. There are more Gentile Christians at this time than there are Jewish Christians. There was a problem that began to brew because these Jewish Christians knew that they were Jews before they became Christians, and they assumed that you needed to become a Jew before you were actually and really a Christian. And so they began to say, before you can really be a Christian, you got to be a Jew. For you males, you need to be circumcised. You need to do that. But the Holy Spirit didn't listen to those Jews, and the Holy Spirit came upon Gentiles as well. There was problems brewing in Christianity, and they called a council, a Jerusalem council, where the apostles and Paul show up there, and they decide this issue, and they decided you did not have to become a Jew to be a Christian. Paul and Peter had a conversation. Peter says, we will continue to share the good news with the Jewish people. You take care of the Gentiles. And they shook hands and they went on their way. But what we know is just what they know. Just because the people who are in leadership decide something, like your church council or your executive council, just because they decide something, it doesn't mean you, the congregation, is going to believe it or abide by it. And this Jerusalem council, even though they said it, not everybody believed it. And there was problems in Christianity. If we truly look at the ministry of Paul, you will find that The thing that affected his ministry more than anything else was the problem between Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. It affected where he went. It affected how he spent his time. The amount of money he had to spend on letters writing back to congregations to get this thing straight. It was problems. It really was. The Jewish Christians in Jerusalem fell on hard times. They were being persecuted. We know that. They were being ostracized. They were being treated so badly that they were very, very poor. Paul hears about that, and he begins to try to take up an offering from, of all people, Gentile Christians from Macedonia, from Philippi, all the way around to Corinth. We know that in Romans, early Rome, in the letter to the Romans, he writes to the church at Rome, I desire to come to you. I want to come to you, and then when I get see you, I want to go on to Spain. By the time he gets through writing the end of Romans, we find that he says, I can't come to you. There's something more pressing. I need to go to Jerusalem and interpret for them this offering. Evangelism of the rest of the world took back seat to the unity of the church. And Paul goes back to Jerusalem to interpret this gift. This is serious business. And the problem is, the problem of the first century is still a problem today. We have built walls in our lives that separate us from people who are like us. We have built walls that separate us from people who do not look like us. We have built walls as a denomination against other denominations. We have built walls within our own denomination against us. There are walls being built between the local church and the district and the conferences and the general church. And there are walls being built by the general church and the conference between the local church. And it breaks God's heart. I'm truly convinced the church will be like Humpty Dumpty and fall to its demise if we don't get rid of the walls that we have built. It will affect and has affected our ability to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community and around the world. And we can't look at anybody else but ourselves, because we all build walls that separate us. In the 1800s, there was an archaeological group that was digging around the Temple Mount. And in their digging, they found a sign from the first century. This sign was in the temple. It said, Gentiles, go no further. If you go any further, your death will be your own fault. There was also a line that said, Jewish women, you can go no further than this point. There was a line further up that said, regular priest, you can go no further than this point. And then it was a place where only the chief priest could go. And Jesus says, all those lines and all those walls have been broken down by my blood. And I will give you your peace, and the walls will come down. It's a sad thing that we find ourselves in this time. Matthew 25 has a great parable in it. Jesus tells us that the Son of Man will come and he will separate the people between sheep and goats. And then he will say to the people, those on his right, he will say, When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And when I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. And when I was naked, you gave me something to wear. And when I was in prison, you came and visited me. And he goes on and on. And then he says to those on his left, when you saw me naked, you did not clothe me. And when you saw me hungry, you did not give me anything to eat. And when you saw me thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. And on and on and on. And both groups had the same exact question. When did we see you? In thinking about this over the last few days, those who were on their right, I believe, did not have any walls. And when they saw the need of those people, they responded. They just hadn't put two to two together to realize that when they were helping those people, they were helping Christ. Those who did not help and said, "When did we see you?" The walls around their lives hindered them from seeing the need of people. And so they never saw. And it's their own fault. When are we, the church, going to knock down the walls that separate us from one another and the people that God came to save? It's amazing the number of people that God came to save. And depending on how big your walls are, there are a lot more people that God came to save than you. You might think you're the only one that God came to save, but you're wrong. This past week, I saw this picture on Facebook, and the picture drew it to me. I just love that little picture. I like that little boy looking in that digital camera and looking at that. It's just precious. And then that made me read what went with it. It's a story about an anthropologist who goes to an African village, to a tribe, and befriends them and gets to know them. And so he devises a game. He gets a basket and fills it with all kinds of fruit and puts the basket at the base of a tree, and he lines up all the children away from it, and he said, "I got a game for you. The first one to get to the basket gets all the fruit. Go." And the children, instead of running like we would have done, began to walk, holding hands. And they all got to the basket at the same time, and they all enjoyed the fruit of the basket. The anthropologist wanted to know, why wouldn't you run and get the basket where you can enjoy it? And they answered with this word, Ubuntu, U-B-U-N-T-U. That is, how can one of us be happy while the rest are miserable? Ubuntu in their civilization is, I am because we are. It's a biblical principle. In Romans, Paul writes, we rejoice when others rejoice. We mourn when other people mourn. We grieve when other people grieve. When we build the walls, we don't see those things, and we're incapable of rejoicing and mourning and grieving together. Yes, Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. I just pray that the church will tear down the wall before we have one. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word to us about walls that separate us from each other and separate us from you. May we be willing to express Ubuntu in our lives. May we all be I am as we are. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.